166. 166.
Just a little bit nippy. Hey, Gene, did you look? We're going to have to put some more chairs up here.
Suits me.
Yeah. You know, I thought we had recruited a couple and they deserted us. Recruited. How did I supposed to say that?
Recruited.
Oh, recruited. That's that Jesseville vernacular coming out. I can't
sounds
help
like
it, Fred.
Been around Joyce too long.
Oh. Well, you know what? I kind of take that as a... I'm feeling pretty good about that one. Well, pardon? That's what it is. Ah, she said it, I didn't. I just agreed with it. It is good to be here this morning. I'm glad all y'all are here, and to our visitors, we're glad to have you. Just join in with us as we worship Jesus here and sing praises, and it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. This morning, we kind of dodged a little bit of a bullet last night as far as the weather. When we got up and looked out toward the mountain from the house, it was all iced up. And there was some ice, I guess, melting off the top of the house, the shingles and stuff, as the sun came up. So it could have been a lot worse. There's a lot of folk right now that are getting hammered by a winter storm. So we need to keep them in our prayers as they go through this. More winter, I think, than we did all last year. So maybe it'll snow a foot one of these days at one time. And hopefully it'll be in the middle of the week, though, so we can miss work, right?
There you go.
There you go. All right, we have a whole lot of stuff going on. It's going to be a busy day today and for the rest of the month. So I hope you keep up with your little bulletin. It's got all the stuff going on in it tonight. Or today at 4 o'clock, we'll be meeting back here for our Christmas celebration dinner. And so bring food. And if you'll notice, we started early this year, so we'll have more time to eat. You know, Cindy and I started this stupid diet, and boy, we couldn't have picked a worse time of the year to do that. But it is what it is, so we'll pick around and eat something. I know there's going to be a lot of good food here, so come back for that. Immediately following that, we'll be going over to do some caroling with Brother Dean. So the van is here, so some can ride in the van. We'll take vehicles as possible, you know, as needed. Plan on coming and going over and singing some Christmas songs to Brother Dean. All right, then Wednesday night, the 12th, will be our youth Christmas party. So we'll have pizza for the kids. We'll give them a little gift. And we won't have our Bible study that night. We'll be over there with them helping celebrate Christmas. So they look forward to that every year. So I encourage you to come and celebrate that with them and share the love. Those kids need a lot of hugging and loving. And so y'all come and do that. Also, there you go again. It's Cindy's anniversary celebration, and so there'll be cake and all that stuff, so I can't eat it, so somebody's going to have to come eat my part. So, y'all, you can do that? David Stone will eat it for me. He loves cake, ice cream, stuff like that. All right, Dana will do it then. Somebody will, I'm sure. Walter? There you go, brother. Can always count on Walter. All right. Then Sunday evening, next Sunday, the 16th, will be our special offering for Brother Walter. And his scans and stuff came back clear last time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all do to help him and his family in this time of need, so that'll be next Sunday, so count on that. And the 23rd at 6 o'clock will be a Christmas piano concert by Brother David Harrison. If you've not ever been to one of his Christmas recital concerts, you've missed a blessing. I encourage you to put that on your calendar and don't miss it. It'll bless your heart. He's a very talented young man, and it's very enjoyable, so please count on coming for that. Then the 30th, singing and fellowship. Okay, as Brother Russell said earlier, it's food, and it's food, and it's more food, and it's more food, but I think that's what we do, isn't it? So we got a lot of that going on, and the fellowship. You know, the fellowship here at Oak Hill is wonderful. It's the love that we have one for another and those that are around us. So come and take part in that, whether you eat or not, and whether you can sing or not, like I can't. It's just, it's all about the Spirit. So amen. please come. This morning, nursery attendants, Cindy and Miss Jerry. Next Sunday will be Mary Lou and Leonard. All right, anything else going on? I don't know about your family, but our family, not only with all this, we have a whole lot of stuff going on, from Lane's first little Christmas program to just everything in the world going on. So it's a busy time of the year. Don't forget why we do what we do, though. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Anything else?
When we go up to sing our carols for Brother Dean, there's room, big parking lot out there where he's at. Big parking lot, there's room for everyone.
Oh, yeah, please come. Let's fill it up. We'll not only sing to him, but everybody else that will listen to us.
Amen.
So there's plenty of room, so don't sing. Yeah, y'all come. All right.
He loves it so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so also back there on the back bench is our calendars for 2019. If You need to be able to keep up with where you're going and where you're supposed to be, and maybe even look back on where you've been. Pick one of those up. They're kind of dated. You need to get started on them pretty quick. 2019 will be here before you turn around twice. Also, ink pens with name, address, website, and all that stuff back there. So pick those up, pass them around, give them to somebody, invite them to church. Don't forget them back there. Okay, anything else?
Page number 208. 208.
To see him look upon his face.
do your reading this morning. And then we have special music this morning. Brother Travis's daughter, Susan, is here. Where did she? Oh, there she is. I couldn't find her. I was looking back at her mom.
I didn't want to walk all the way back.
I'm this little writing in a Christmas card, and it's about the great I am. If you look for me at Christmas, you won't need a special star. I'm no longer just in Bethlehem. I'm right there where you are. You may not be a horse in all the decorations, but if you take a moment from your list of things to do and listen in your heart, you'll find I'm waiting there for you. For you see, I am the reason for the celebration. Before I sing, I'm going to tell a quick little story. This year is the 20th anniversary of this song that I'm about to sing. I wrote it 20 years ago, and like many of you, life gets very busy around the holidays. And that particular year, I was doing a business meeting conference from Chicago to Florida, so it was going to be in Florida, but I was planning it and making all the handouts and doing all that stuff. And then I had to go to Florida on Monday through Wednesday, then fly back home to Chicago, and then my daughter was getting married on Friday night. So that's what was going on besides all the other Christmas stuff. And so this was just about the week before that, and we'd been doing wedding stuff and trying to get everything ready, and I sat down in my living room about 9 o'clock on Saturday night just to enjoy the Christmas tree for a minute, and I remembered that I had promised to sing in a Sunday school class the next day, and I was like, Lord, I haven't even had time to think about that, and Christmas is going by so fast, and I'm not getting to enjoy it at all. And God gave me this song, and I sang it the next morning in that Sunday school class, and I sang it there every year until we moved away. It was just, they were like, oh, you have to come sing it again. So I sang it every year, and it's special for me, but I'm hoping it will be special for you too. And she's going to give me a note so I can get started.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. When I was a child, my parents taught me that Christmas was more than gifts under a tree. They told me of Jesus, his Bethlehem birth. When in mercy and love, God came down to earth. Christmas, the way it should be. Let the Christmas tree remind me of a tree on Calvary. The best Christmas package you can receive is the babe in a manger. Oh, won't you believe? Now life gets so busy, we hurry and run, and it seems we can never get everything done. Trim the tree, wrap the presents. Have I left someone out? Did I forget the one that Christmas is about? Let me remember Christmas the way it should be. Let the Christmas tree remind me of a tree on Calvary. The best Christmas package you can receive is the babe in a manger. Oh, won't you believe?
Thank you, Susan, for that beautiful song. And Gene, I'm sure I'm glad to have some other stuff between that choir song and me preaching because I was out of breath. So it's good to be here this morning. And we are still in our series on Baptist distinctives. This morning, I have a lot of scriptures to read. So if you have a pencil and a piece of paper, you might want to jot these down. I'll try to give you time to get to them as we go down through. We want to base everything that we believe, preach, and teach from God's Word, not from anything else. So this subject we're talking about today is found throughout the Bible. I'll give you these scriptures, and then, like I said, I'll try to give you time. But we're going to read down. Then John 10, 27 through 30. Then John 5, 24. Romans 8, 35 through 39. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. John 3 and 3. Now, you might want to limber your fingers up because we got a lot of pages to flip. Or you can go back and read them at your leisure, whatever you prefer to do. But I felt like it was necessary to read all these scriptures in relation to the subject this morning. Now, I've preached this sermon many times in the past, but I will attempt to preach it again this morning in the series because I think it's something that we need to understand. And it goes along with our basic Bible doctrines, if you will. The subject is one of our foundations as Baptists, but it's not shared with a whole lot of other religions out there in the world today. Actually, it is one of the doctrines of the Baptists that is most disagreed with by other religions. Now, I don't know how easy it is to explain it. I know that it's found throughout the scriptures. But I do know that the more I study it, the more I believe it. And in the flyleaf of my Bible, my study Bible at home, I have these scriptures listed. I don't know if you write in your Bible or not, but the flyleaves of my Bible is full of stuff, dates and scriptures. And as I studied at this time, I actually added three more scriptures that I found in this study. So I continue to find more material in God's Word to back up this belief. We never, ever, ever, ever want to stand on anything that we can't take God's Word and prove. And just because I might want to believe it or disbelieve it doesn't make it so. What makes it so is what God says about it. So I'm talking this morning about security of the believer. And the question then must be answered by you is, can I lose my salvation? And it's one that's, like I said, that's what one of the things that we stand on, and a lot of other religions don't accept it. Okay, but I submit to you this morning that the answer is found in God's Word. You don't have to take Brother Sam's word for this. Read the Bible. Let the Spirit lead you to this understanding. Now, it's in there, and I don't think it's buried very deep. You don't have to look very hard to find it. It's scattered throughout, from Genesis to Revelation. Now, one of the things that I have trouble understanding is why that some people try so hard to disprove it. I just don't understand that, but that's just me, I guess, my weak and feeble mind. We've stated here many times that we study God's word one word at a time, because let me tell you, God doesn't waste words, and everything that's in this Bible is the word. Talk about that as we go down through here. Our first sermon in this series, we talked about God's word being the authority on everything that we do. That's God's word to us, folk. We got to get that in our mind. When God says it, that makes it so. Whether we want to believe it or not, or whether we want to accept it or not, it's still the truth. Okay? And so, as we near Christmas, as we get closer, we're going to talk about the virgin birth of Jesus as one of our sermons in our series in a couple of weeks. But John 3:16 is probably one of the most quoted verses in the Bible. You can probably all quote it. It is Jesus himself speaking, and if you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that it's in red. It says very simply this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everlasting. Well, that means forever. It means never ending. It means that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it lasts for all eternity. Now, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you believe that he died on the cross for you, and that he's risen, and that he's coming back, and those of us who have accepted him as our Lord and Savior can place our faith and hope on that, nothing can take it from you. That, my friend, is the eternal commitment made to you by God Almighty. That's not me saying it, that's God. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's very plain talking to me. It's this way: if you believe and you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Amen. Period. Okay? Might I just interject at this point that one thing to keep in mind as we explore this security is that we did not do one single thing to save ourselves except to accept what Jesus did for us on the cross. You can't live good enough. It's all about what Jesus did, and all we can do is accept it. So, live good enough to save myself. How can I live good enough to keep myself saved? I know, that's pretty basic. I mean, that's old Jessville vernacular. I mean, I can put some big words in there if you'd like, but it means the same thing, and this is simple. You can't do it. Only Jesus can. You can't, okay? Sometimes I think that we have the thought that God is just sitting up there in heaven waiting to chastise us for something we've done wrong. I mean, have you ever talked to someone that just is in so much fear about God taking their salvation or them losing their spot in heaven or something like that, that they're afraid that God's just sitting up there waiting on us to mess up so he can take it away from us? Well, let me tell you something. There's nothing further from the truth than that, because God sent his only begotten Son. He sent a part of himself from heaven down here to this earth to pay the price we couldn't pay, because he loves us. So why would he want to take it away from us? Now, I don't want you to get to the thinking that I don't think we should do our best to live good, to live, to work, but it's not for our salvation, it's because we're saved. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're told that we are saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. It's God's gift to mankind. We're going to look up a few scriptures to back this belief up. John 10 and verse 27. This again is Jesus speaking. We're going to read just a few verses here. I want you to get it. So I'm going to, are you there? John 10, 27. It says, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep, listen." Do you belong to Jesus? Do you? If you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you belong to Him. You are one of His sheep. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Amen? Jesus knows you, my friend, if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. And we are required to follow Him. And in verse 28, I give, do you get it? I give, Jesus gives unto them, us, eternal life. It's that gift of God. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's just about as plain as it gets. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you notice in those scriptures, there's a lot of I's, and it's not me, it's Jesus. There's a lot of I's in there. Those I's are Jesus speaking. Now, look at it again. I like the fact that Jesus did all the heavy lifting in this deal. Because I can't live good enough, but He did. So it's all about what He did. I like the fact that nothing or no one can pluck me out of the hand of Jesus when I belong to Him.
Amen.
I have that security. But guess what? I also like the fact that God Almighty has me in His hand, and He and none greater than God Almighty, and no one can pluck us out of His hand. He saved me, and He keeps me saved. Amen? All right, John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, the word of Jesus is very simple here. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you see that? Here's what He said. "I say unto you, he that heareth my word." That's what Jesus said. And let me tell you what, one of my favorite scriptures, John 14:6, and it's Jesus, and He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's the word of Jesus. You are not coming to God except through Jesus.
Amen.
And when you do, you have everlasting life. No condemnation. And we're passed from death unto life. Now, well, some folks would be saying at this point, "But preacher, what I'm talking about is separation from God." Yes, this old body. Praise the Lord, I'm getting a new body.
Amen.
One of these days. This one here has to be changed to be in the presence of God. But my soul will never be separated from God. You know why? Because Jesus saved me and the Holy Spirit moved right in here. A part of God dwells in me. Amen. The next scripture has everything we face in it today, and I want you to pay attention as we read it. It's in Romans chapter 8. I love these scriptures. I hope you write them in your Bible where you can go back and reference them and study them. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. Now, the Apostle Paul, would you agree that the Apostle Paul was probably one of the strongest Christians in all of our history? Amen. He went through a lot. We've been studying in the book of Acts on Wednesday night. We're about to get finished with that. We're going to start in Romans, and it's going to be a good study, so I encourage you to come. But I want you to think about everything that Paul went through, okay? None of us have ever been through what Paul went through. But here's the faith that Paul had in the understanding. In verse 35, Romans chapter 8 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Listen, none of the things that we face in this life can separate us from Jesus when we know him as Lord and Savior. If you'll go back and you read through that scripture and you'll look, these are the things that happen to people in this life, and nothing can separate none of these things. I don't care what kind of problems you're having, financial, marital, sickness. It doesn't matter. When your faith's in Jesus Christ and he's your Lord and Savior, none of those hardships will take that away from you. That's talking about Satan. He can't take it from you, friend, because Jesus has you in the palm of his hand. Amen. You want to know the way to keep Satan away from you? Stay as close as you can to God. The closer you get to God, the further that Satan will be from you. But listen, none of that stuff, nothing present, nothing in the future will ever separate you from that love of Jesus. Do you get it? It's really not complicated, is it? Now, we cannot be separated from God once we have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. We can't do it, and it can't be done to us because Jesus is the one that keeps us safe. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. It says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Thank you, Jesus. Because so many years ago when I gave my life to him, I've not always walked where I should have been. But I've never one time felt like that he didn't have my back. And when I was walking off over there where I shouldn't have been, I was always convicted I needed to get back to where I should be. Listen to me, friend. We all walk over there sometimes. None of us are without sin. What you need to understand is that if you can walk in sin and not be convicted of it, you might ought to examine your salvation experience. But when you sin and you know that the Spirit of God dwells in you, he'll convict you. Don't mean you're lost. Means you need to repent and get back to the right walk with God. I have committed my soul to Jesus many, many years ago. I have rededicated my life a few times over the years. I think that we all ought to do that occasionally and sit down and just talk to God and say, "God, I want to be who you want me to be." Don't have anything to do with your salvation. Listen, that's secure. But we're supposed to want to walk with Jesus. If I want, still with me. Amen? Amen. You remember, maybe even before some of y'all came, it's been maybe, a year or two, I don't know, time goes, but I preached a sermon entitled In His Steps. Anybody ever heard that, In His Steps? It's a book that was written back in the late 1800s. It's a very good little book. It is the book that inspired the saying, What Would Jesus Do? Now, has anybody here not ever saw one of those little arm bracelets or something that said WWJD? That's where that came from. If you don't have the book, get it and read it. It's pretty good. Now, in that sermon, I said this. If you're a child of the King and you go to a place where you shouldn't be, you take Jesus with you. Amen? And so here's what you need to ask yourself. Whenever you're confronted with a temptation or maybe going somewhere where maybe you shouldn't be doing that, just ask yourself that. What would Jesus do? Well, you know what? If you'll ask yourself that before you do it, most of the time you change your mind. It's a good little lesson. Well, know this, folks. Whatever we do, when we're a born-again believer, we take God with us when we do it. You can't hide in a corner. You can't get in a closet. You can't get on, jet airplane, fly down to the beach or anywhere else and do whatever you want to. God goes with you, so know that, all right? It don't mean you're lost, but it does maybe mean you shouldn't be doing it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, God keeps that which we have given Him safe from all harm. But now, I don't want you to leave here this morning thinking that I'm saying that you're not held responsible for what you do after you're saved. So keep that in mind, friend. When you sin, you're not lost again, but you better repent of it and get it straight, or you'll answer for it one of these days. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and 3. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you get it? We are kept by the power of God. You know, sometimes I think maybe I get to repeat myself. There's scripture after scripture. I could read you another, I don't know how many. There's a lot of them. But listen, you didn't save yourself and you didn't keep yourself saved. We are kept by the power of God. John 3:36. John 3:36 says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Hath. Amen? And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Listen to me, friend. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will never see the wrath of God. And if you haven't, I feel sorry for you. Because this world has never seen anything like the wrath of God being poured out until He does it, and it's coming. Now listen very closely to what I'm about to say. If you're saved, truly saved, by the grace of God through your faith in Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity with Jesus in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Okay? If you don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you will not spend eternity in heaven. You will spend it in hell with Satan and his angels. Don't kid yourself, friend. There's only two choices. No one can take your salvation away from you, but keep this in mind, saved person. You will be judged for the things that you do after you're saved. So choose wisely. It won't make you lost, but there are consequences. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. A couple of verses here. I'm going to try not to keep you too long. I get wound up. I might get to going a little bit longer, and we might just have, oh, wait a minute. Y'all didn't bring food with you. You got to go home and get it. I better hurry up, hadn't I, Gene? There you go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and there they are. If you're born again believing, and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the only way you are a born again believer. But listen to me, where are you putting your treasures? Have you got a big fat bank account? There ain't nothing wrong with that. But where's your treasure? Well, if your treasure's in that big fat bank account, you might ought to rethink that. Because one of these days, it's going to be gone. And you can sit on it all your life and give it to your kids, but guess what? You're not taking it with you when you leave. But think about this. Whenever you have the love that Jesus... Excuse me, when you have the love that Jesus showed us and you share it with people, you're sending forward reward. The Bible's plain to me on this. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You can see that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And I encourage you to read that whole chapter. It's the faith chapter. Go over there and read it when you have a minute. You will see how that the faith gave these men of God great reward, and it hasn't changed. Don't worry about this old life here. It's short, and it's full of trouble. But eternity lasts forever. Pay it forward. Serve Jesus. Send those rewards ahead of you. And if you do that, nothing can take it away from you. Nothing. Because Jesus has it. Remember this. Don't squander away what you've been given. Use it while you can. Well, I don't have anything, preacher. Well, guess what? I believe you do. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have something inside of you that you can share with the world, and you still get to keep it. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 28, the Great Commission plainly tells us, go ye therefore. Go ye, do you get it? It didn't say, pray about it and see if you need to go. It didn't say, think about it, and if you want to go. It didn't say, if you're a gifted speaker, go. It says, go. All of us can do that. Share what Jesus has done for you and change someone else's life. One of these days, Jesus is coming back to receive unto Himself those who have prepared, have placed their faith and trust in Him. Will you be on that list? Is your name written? If it's written in the book, you're going. Can't nobody take it from you. Now, if you aren't, you can be. It's really simple. All you have to do is make the decision to follow Jesus and ask Him to save your life. In Luke chapter 16, we have a very vivid account of two people, Lazarus and the rich man, and the scripture is very, very clear. When they died, to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man opened up his eyes in torment and hell. I submit to you this morning that you have the same choice. Don't make the wrong one. When you give your heart and soul to Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about where you're going ever again, because He has you safe in the palm of His hand. But listen to me, friend, if you're hearing this sermon this morning and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you don't choose Jesus now, you've made a choice to reject Him, and you might not get another chance. Choose wisely. It's pretty simple to me. To choose that which lasts for all eternity. Or you can choose to be separated from God. Jesus and eternal life in the presence of God Almighty, or hell, separation from God, darkness, solitude, forever. That's the choices. The choice is yours, my friend. Make the right choice. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Fathers, we come to you at this time, thankful, Lord, for your word that gives us the assurance that when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we are eternally saved. Thank you for doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And Lord, help us also to understand that just because we're saved don't mean that we can act any way we want to. We are supposed to follow you as closely as possible. And when we do, we lay up for ourselves those rewards in heaven that can never go away. Lord, I pray that if there's any here amongst us today that are saved and are not living the life that you would have them to, Lord, that you would convict them, that they might repent and get back on the straight and narrow so that they can be laying up those rewards. I know it don't have anything to do with their salvation. When they're saved, they're saved. But there's consequences to our actions. Lord, I pray that if there's any that hear this sermon that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit would convict them and draw them and impress upon them that if they don't accept the gift that you gave us, they're going to spend eternity separated from you. Lord, it's enough to give to each other. And Lord, there's so many in the world today that are not accepting the free gift that you give to all men. I pray, Lord, that we could just stop and think and give you the thanks and accept Jesus Christ into our hearts and receive that free gift you give us. Lord, your will be done in each and every soul. I thank you for Jesus and what he's done for me. In his precious name I pray. Amen.
197.
It's all about the blood. There is no other way. What can make you white as snow? You can't do it, friend. You know what? As good as you are, and y'all are great, not good enough. Jesus had to do it. What can make you white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Have you accepted Jesus? Listen to me. Don't make the wrong choice. Accept him before it's too late. And then walk. The Bible tells us to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. And only you know whether you're doing that or not. Are you? Maybe you need to rededicate your life. You know what? Maybe you need to dedicate your life. Have you ever done it? Like, Jesus, I give myself to you totally, whatever you want me to do. Oh, by the way, when you do that, be prepared, because he might ask you to do something you might not want to do, but he'll give you the strength to do it. Don't be scared. Jesus got you back. As we sing another song, verse.
For my heart and this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
not